Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. This is Bill. Tonight's show, I keep saying tonight, but it might not be tonight for you, is Tarot Lessons Part 3. We've got readings. We've got a rare interview with Colin Doyle, who is a healer. That'll be coming up. If you want to give us a call, our Skype number, it is 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. If you have any follow-ups and any readings you've had, any unusual experiences, any information you'd like to share with us, then please give us a call. So sit back, open your minds, and enjoy the show.
Flowers are getting grown up.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is Nunu, and Bill is around here someplace.
Hiding in the shadows.
Yes, in the dark. And this is Broken Earth Radio Show. Today is a very, very special episode. You know, we are going to be talking about our tarot lessons, part three. We're also going to be doing readings, like we're going to do a reading. We do have someone we're going to talk to from area code 201 in just a little bit. And then after that, we're going to have the first part of our interview with Colin Doyle.
That's right. It's broken down into three sections, about 15 minutes each. It's only about probably a third of the whole interview, so we'll be playing it over the next couple of weeks. And during the interview, I've adjusted the sound of it. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it, but because my dad has ME, he can't project his words very loudly sometimes, and he gets a sore throat and that's, but hopefully you'll be able to pick up what he's saying. It should be okay, but we'll see. You know, I just realized as well that my 2 weeks today, the show is going to fall on my birthday.
Oh, wow. We can have cake while we talk.
Yeah.
But you're not going to blow on the cake because you don't want to get anybody.
No, of course
sick.
We don't have any you know, diseases, you know. Unless we put our biohazard suits on first and then blow them out.
So, anything in particular that you want to talk about that's happened over this past portion of life, the past week?
Well, you know, there's been a few things. A couple of things that's happened to me personally, unusual things. But unfortunately, they were good things. I can't remember them all, which doesn't mean they're not rememberable, if that makes any sense. It's just because work's been, you know, what's the word?
Frustrating.
Yeah. So, you know, I haven't been able to get down on paper as much as I wanted to. But one of the unusual things was, I don't think I told you about this, was in work, you got one of those, you know, the latches that bolt across and down, like a metal bolt thing that goes down. And
yeah.
It's like keeping a slider window closed. Anyway, somebody was trying to open it from their side, and I was like, oh, I forgot to unlock it. Because they opened it a bit, it created, you know, like it jammed because it was pushing against the hole.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
When it's locked in. So I was like trying to heave it out of the way, and then all of a sudden it gave way, and the bit I was holding onto, the metal bit, bent up, like went 90 degrees, went straight up into the air. And it unbolted, and I was like, oh, broke it. And it was as it should be. I didn't understand because I saw the bit I was holding on to, as I lifted it up, it just looked like it snapped and gone completely the opposite way to what it did. But when I went to check it, it was all, you know, as it should be. It wasn't damaged or anything like that. And I don't know, is it some kind of glitch in the matrix?
Maybe. Because I'll tell you, I know that, you know, you do a lot to keep yourself peaceful and calm, but sometimes when you get frustrated, when you get frustrated, it's, yeah, so you probably just didn't need to have that experience, and it resets
yeah.
everything.
Well, you know,
fine.
Well, you know, the rage virus is going around work at the moment. Everybody's getting rage. We're wondering who's going to be next. Is everybody going into a rage about something, you know, like bulbs or whatever? And it's about, we're on to the fifth person in the past, you know, 5 days. I'm wondering who's going to fly off the handle next. It was nearly me today, but, you know, I did well. So, the rage virus.
I had rage a few times.
Road rage.
No, just rage in work rage. And, you know, when I was working for a natural food store, and I had one of the managers just had it out for me, because I wouldn't let him. I was a manager too, but I wouldn't let him threaten people with their jobs, because I think it's immoral, first off, and no one should feel like they don't have a job just because, you know, they're trying to put their ideas in. I understand, you know, he was a new manager, so he was maybe kind of frustrated because he was trying to implement some things and people weren't, you know, giving into it yet, because people have to adapt to change. But I was just like, well, you know, you don't threaten people with their jobs, though, because in one of the meetings he was saying, well, I'm just going to tell everybody if they don't like it, they can leave. And he was already working with the bare minimum of what he could, and he'd be doing it all by himself. And I was just like, there's no reason to do that. You don't have to threaten people with their jobs. I know these people, they're decent, you know. But of course, because I told him no, he'd lost it. And so over the next couple of weeks, he ended up coming at me, like literally coming at me. And I was cutting open a package that had some of the paper bags, and I had scissors in my hand, and he started coming at me saying something. And all I remember was everything just went red, and then it went white. And apparently I had called him everything but a squirrel.
Right.
And everybody was holding me back.
And so maybe scissors in your hand at all.
I know.
And face.
And so the kitchen staff started calling me Nunu Ali after that. And when I walked back, they were, you know, just saying,
I would like a butterfly snap with scissors.
They were saying, like, Nunu Boombaye instead of Ali Boombaye. But the guy ended up that day quitting. We had a meeting at the end of the day, but the meeting we were having, I just had to be the person there as the witness to take notes. And he was supposed to be talking to one of his staff members, and he turned on me in the meeting. And so I just sat there, and he was like, are you not going to say anything to me? And I said, this meeting is not even about me. I'm just here to take notes. And because I said that, he lost it, and he ended up trying to storm out of the room. But the problem was, the office was so small, I was sitting in front of the door. I had to move out of the way so he could storm out of the room. Then his name tag got caught in on the doorknob while he was trying to storm out. So it was like this this dramatic exit turned into this, oh, excuse me, pardon me thing. And so after that, I told the store manager, I said, I'm leaving, because I don't want him coming back here and trying to, you know. And he was like, yeah, you probably should go, because the guy just, for some reason, he just had it out for me. He just had, after that one day, he just had it out for me. But anyway, yeah, I've experienced rage and seen rage, and you know, it's, well, you know.
Well, I found, you know what I found today? Somebody had annoyed me today, and I was like, thinking of all these things, you know, I could say to them and say, you know, listen, you annoyed me because you did this. And then I stopped myself, and then I realized that I twisted the story a little bit to make it seem even worse than what it was in my own head. And I thought to myself, this is what a lot of people must do, but I'm glad I recognized it and stopped it right there, you know, put an even more negative and bad spin on what actually happened.
You remember that in the future when you're, getting mad at me.
When do I get mad at you?
Every day.
When do I get mad at you? Damn it.
Well, why don't we take
you
a
like
call?
To my, what
were you going to say?
Talking about rage.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody would like to listen to a meditative relaxation that I've done, it's actually on YouTube. If you go to the website address there in the chat room, it'll be under the media page. And it's about 15 minutes long, and it should help you relax. And if you listen to it last thing at night before you go to bed, it should help you sleep a little better. So if you're experiencing stress and rage, that could be the antidote. So try it out. Go on.
It could be the anecdote. No, it would actually really help. Let's take a caller. We're going to take the caller at 954 because the other caller couldn't stay on. They had to go do something. But caller at 954, this is Broken Earth. How can we help you?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Darlene from Florida.
Your name is Darlene?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Darlene, it's nice to meet you. How can we help you?
I'd just like a reading, any messages from my spirit guides.
Okay, Darlene, you know, these are not full readings that we do. We do sample
okay.
readings. So if you have an actual question to ask, please present your question because it's just going to be just simple.
Okay, so my
simple.
Question would be, you know, how soon are my finances going to pick up?
Okay. Hold on just a moment. Let's look and see. All right. I may have a couple of things that I want to, you know, ask you, but I'm not sure what they are just yet. But just bear with me just a moment and let's see. I think she puts her time into padding out. Oh, okay. All right. Now, let's see. When I go backwards, I want to ask you a question about, I believe, we're going back to last June. Did you have any sort of change, like travel in June or a new vehicle in June?
In June, last June?
Right, or maybe May, either May or June.
I could have. I can't remember now.
You really can't remember? Okay, that's all right. Well, the reason I'm asking you this is because I'm just trying to make sure my timing is right with you, okay? But it does look like things are going to pick up, but from what I really feel like it's going to be something that's happening around July and September, around July and not August, but like there's something happening in July that's going to actually, you're going to see changes in the month of September, okay? So whether this is a raise or just, you know, something that you're going to hear that you should be receiving, that's where I see some real good financial growth for you. Now, there's going to be, you know, like a couple of things that look like they're coming your way, just, you know, some small little bits just to help you out. But that's where it looks like you're actually going to see a significant improvement, at least within this calendar year. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. All right, dear. Have a good one, and thanks for listening.
Okay, thank you.
All right, dear. Bye-bye. You know, my brother is visiting from Hawaii.
He was looking buff and sexy.
It's crazy.
Is he still doing this? Sorry.
No, go on.
I was going to ask you a question. I was going to see if he's still doing the, wasn't he doing like the world's buffest man or something?
No, he was doing.
Strongman events, wasn't he?
Well, he was doing some variation of that, but it wasn't actually, you know, the main, it wasn't the big real deal. But he was also doing some of the, what are those people called? The people that do that wrestling on, you know, the real wrestling on television. You mean it's all not real? You know, not the stuff like The Rock does, but the, you know.
What, the real wrestling? What's it called?
Yeah, the, what is it called?
I don't know.
Well, I can't remember the term for it either. But he's also kickboxing and all that kind of stuff. This fool, the other day, I was like delirious. I had been working and my brain was fried and I was completely delirious. And he comes in the room and he's talking about the zombie apocalypse. And I'm like, everybody keeps talking about the zombie apocalypse. This is about the zombie apocalypse, blah, 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 and the zombie apocalypse. And he was like, the zombie apocalypse? And so now he goes around, he's sneaking up behind me, screaming, zombies are coming. And he's like slamming me down and holding me down by my hands and smashing his head into my head. He's like terrorizing me. And it's like, stop. I feel like I'm 12. I feel like a 12-year-old scared child screaming and hollering. But, I mean, it's funny.
What's zombie?
Zombie is what, honestly, zombie is a genie on the Pee Wee Herman show, on Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse. But zombie is actually what I was saying because I was so exhausted and I was talking about the zombie apocalypse, but I accidentally said the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, right.
And so
sounds like some sort of food that I want to put reggae sauce on.
Some zombie? I want some zombie. He was saying, he's also said that during the zombie apocalypse, because that's what now we're calling it, and just so you'll know, it's zombies now, that we're going to be, you remember, all of us, you too, we're going to be the tribe of people that actually eat the pituitary glands of the zombies.
Right.
And it's going to give us raging strength. That's another rage reference for the day.
And the pineal gland. For transcendence.
Zombie-like transcendence. But he's like, I wonder if that could really happen. But the whole thing is, you know, we can write whatever we want to about zombies because it's not real.
That's right. Let's talk about something that is real.
You want to talk about Israel?
It's not Israel. Although it is real. The Nile is not just a river in Egypt. here we go. Before we, what are we moving on to? We're moving on to what we're doing next.
We're going to listen to our interview. We're going to have a station call out. We're going to listen to our interview. And when we come back from our interview, we're going to do a reading with caller at 617.
Okay. Just before we go into the interview, which is, how long is it, about 10, 15 minutes?
The first portion of it is, about 15 minutes.
Right. And Colin Doyle is a healer. He's not too well himself at the moment, though, unfortunately. But he's had a lot of unusual experiences, paranormal. I'm not going to give too much away, but I said it will be covered in the interview. And you know, I hope you enjoy it. Before I go into that, though, Summit, just for you to mull over what you think. Hungry homeless man ticketed for digging through trash. James Kelly was hungry and looking for something to eat. He tried to find it in a trash bin near Houston City Hall. For that, the man who for that, the man who said he spent about 9 years in the Navy but fell on hard times was ticketed by a Houston police officer. According to his copy of the citation, Kelly, 44, was charged on Thursday with disturbing the contents of a garbage can the downtown business district.
He was molesting the garbage?
Yeah.
That is just...
Well, I was just basically looking for something to eat, Kelly said Monday night. I wasn't in a real good mood. The Chronicle traced the law back to 1942 when it was delightfully titled Molesting Garbage Containers.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. It's just ways for people to control everybody. Just, you know.
So, yeah.
This is driving me nuts, too. On Facebook, there are advertisements all through our pages. I mean, when I say there's advertisements all through our pages, I have McDonald's advertisement, some sort of candy advertisement, not on the side of my page, but included with, like, my friends' comments and stuff.
Yeah, well, you see, it tends to be related to things you've liked. What I've noticed, like, the adverts come up for me is, like, exercise and, like, ghost hunting and things. So it might be related to things you've liked on other pages.
I haven't liked Temptations. Oh, it's cat food. It's cat treats. Why do I want cat treats?
What, and McDonald's?
And McDonald's.
It may as well be.
McDonald's. Okay.
Right, should we move along?
Yes, we shall. Yes, we will. We've talked a lot, and I know that people are excited. I want to warn everybody, these interviews are kind of mesmerizing. So, you know, and it's not really a warning, but, you know, you may fall in love with the guest. Anyhow, we'll be right back with interviews with healer Colin Doyle.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
Hello, the date is the 3rd of March 2013, Sunday at 11:34. And I'm here with Colin Doyle, my dad, today, asking some questions about his life experiences. Before I start, though, did any of the subjects we talk about interest you as a child? And if they did, when did they start?
Well, as a child, not really, because I started developing an interest in the paranormal and the occult when I was about 14 or 15, when I started reading Dennis Wheatley books, and it broadened my horizons in respect that I found out there was more going on that we didn't know about, and it was obvious. So I sort of started delving more into things that had frightened me in the past. To try to get a better understanding, because they had frightened me so much, and I felt that if I could understand them, then it wouldn't be so much of a problem for me.
Okay. Can you tell us about your childhood experiences then? because I know you had some experiences with poltergeists and strange entities in your bedroom.
Well, I must point out that from a very early age, life was quite difficult one way or another for me as a child. And it could have been because I was troubled that I was sensitive to things that probably other children would ignore because they were preoccupied with things that children would normally do, whereas my childhood wasn't very nice. And I was more aware of what was going on around me at the time. I blanked out from a very early age, but when we moved to Blakeham about 1951-52, we moved into a downstairs flat, there were blocks of four flats, two up, two down, in North Road in Blakeham. It was number 30, and then that was when things began to happen that were more noticeable, because they seemed to happen in my bedroom, and I wasn't sharing that room with others like I did with my grandparents. I was a very unhappy child. I didn't sort of enjoy home life that most children had. So I was really more aware of things that went on around me. And mainly, I was always frightened at night when we moved into the flat, because I felt a presence most nights. I felt like some nights I was being suffocated, and other nights I was aware of dark shapes around me, and I used to shout for my parents a lot, and apparently my father was a big man. He was 6'4". He was reluctant to come to see what was wrong with me in the night, because he'd encountered on a few occasions a dark shape in the hallway bigger than him, and the same dark shape, or presumably the same dark shape, leaning over my bed when he'd come into me. My mother had given up coming to me a long time before that, because she was frightened of what she might experience. And in the end, it stopped coming, so I just used to put my head under the sheets and try to get on with it. And I was very ill as a child, and a lot of illnesses. They thought I had polio at one time, but it was glandular fever, scarlet fever, mumps, chicken pox, measles, everything you can imagine. Those first few years there, I was really quite ill. And I found it difficult on occasions to separate reality from hallucinations. Or on reflection, I've tried to separate these, and a lot I just sort of, I'm sure I just blanked out because they were too frightening. This is one of the things that's really stayed in my mind that I can talk about. But the most unusual thing was, I know I was well at the time, and I was aware of something in the room not the normal dark shapes, but this was a small man, about, I'd say about 18 inches tall, completely naked, sitting cross-legged, devoid of hair, quite proportioned to the size, you know, didn't look like a dwarf or anything like that, it was just a small man. He was green, sort of had a luminescence about him, and he was floating across the room at the bottom of my bed, about 5 foot off the floor, from right to left, and it gave off a sort of glow, and it really, really frightened me, and I just got under the bedclothes and just tried to ignore it, and just hoped it would go away.
Didn't you, what about somebody else?
So that was at the stage where I was, I'd given up shouting for mum and dad.
Right.
So they never saw that. So lead on to your next question.
Well, I was going to say, because somebody else saw it as well, didn't they?
Well, about 20 years later, I think I was about 7 or 8 years old when I experienced that. About 20 years later, I was talking to somebody who was open-minded, who had seen spirits, who believed in such things. And I hadn't told anybody except Chris, my wife, about the experience. And he was talking about the theatre in Chester, where he worked part-time, and apparently behind the stage there was a ghost of a man who worked there, and he was telling us about this. And I told him about this little green man, which I thought was really very, very strange. It was so strange to me, I'd not spoken to anybody about it previously. And he said, according to books I've read, that is the form that the devil takes, or what would be the word for the devil? I'm not sure if he used the devil, Lucifer, I think he might have said. And I thought, oh, that's strange, because everyone portrays him as a goat.
Mm.
Anyway, moving on. Then about, I'd say about another 10 years on, I was talking to a friend of mine, Tommy Fennell, who'd had strange experiences in Blaken himself, had been told of things, and he'd had experiences himself in Ireland, and it was occasion when we'd been out for a few drinks, and he said to me, we're talking about somebody who used to live in Norwich Road, and his name was Ken Tushingham, and he said about him being sectioned, and I thought I know he's quite an aggressive, violent person, and there's some rough people living in Blaken at that time, and I thought it was for his behaviour, because his whole family, they came from the Lakes, and were always fighting, get into trouble, you know, real hardened criminals as far as I know. But he never sort of struck me as a type who loses faculties. I was trying to think of a proper word. And I said, oh, what happened? He said, oh, he said, apparently he was running down Norris Road in his underwear in the middle of the night, shouting that the devil was after him. And the ambulance came for him, put him in a straitjacket, because he was babbling incoherently. And he was on about this little green man that was chasing him. And it made me go all funny.
I'd not
talked to anybody about it previously, and that's what I told Tony about it.
And that's the same road?
Across the opposite side to us, but a little bit further down.
Same area as well. That's strange.
That was really, I'm going all cold. Because I had difficulty separating some of these experiences from what could be hallucinations. So I only talk about the things where my dad said that he wouldn't come into the room because of this, mm. and because of that, and because of that. That little green man, it was verified by somebody else.
Well,
you wouldn't normally expect somebody to come out with that,
no,
would you, really?
No, and the thing is, I know somebody at work did confirm that somebody else had seen it. Mm-hmm. Somebody else had seen a floating green man as well. But he's left now, so I can't really talk to him about it, but I think someone else had confirmed that they'd seen something similar. When you saw it, I know it would be a scary thing to see, because it's not you. Everyday thing that you see.
No.
But did its appearance seem threatening and scary?
Not at all.
So
I was just frightened because of everything that had happened previously.
Yeah. So what do you think it was? Do you think it was a ghost? Do you think it was Lucifer? Do you think it was maybe an extraterrestrial?
I've got an open mind, because there's nothing I could sort of relate to it. The only thing I thought of, which frightened me, when it reminded me of it, was Dan Dare comics later on. They'd have an alien in it called the Mekong, which floated about on a little spacecraft thing, and he had a head about twice the size of his body.
Right. Did this have a head that would seem unusually large for its body?
No, it's no, all the proportion.
And the eyes as well.
Yeah, it looked like just like a small proportioned child, but this was a man, because you could see the musculature.
Oh, right.
The way its body was formed. You know, we don't get children like that.
So it's like a luminous green, do you say?
Yeah. Well, it was green. It did, but it has like a aura about it. You know, it sort of shone.
Mm.
Hard to describe. It wasn't like a light bulb where you look at it and the light is sort of emanating from it, and you have to sort of shield your eyes or anything. And it didn't look like it was lit from the inside. It was just like it had an aura about it. Thank you.
hand on her thigh, and she says, do you want to try? I put my hand on her belly, and she says, do you want to fill me? Gently, Johnny, gently, Johnny, my jingle. Gently, 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 Johnny, gently,
interesting how when people don't understand what something is, they demonize it or they call it a monster or the devil.
Right.
It's really interesting.
That's not what my dad was saying.
Oh, I know it's not what he's saying. It's just interesting because he was trying to tell someone about it, and that person was saying that it was the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I'm glad that I asked the question to him, you know, even though it seemed, you know, it was a scary thing to see. Did you feel threatened by it? And he said no. So, judging by it, it didn't seem like it was anything negative.
Right.
But, you know, I suppose it will remain a mystery for a while until we transcend into the that all that is. And maybe we'll get all our answers. Anyway, we better not go down that route. Forget that. Otherwise, we'll be, you know. What is that song that we just played out of a film?
Right, it was.
What film is it?
It was from The Wicker Man.
Oh, yes, I remember now.
Yeah.
You actually know that island was up for, that area was up for sale recently?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they sold me the place where the Wicker Man was filmed originally, with the church and everything on it.
Oh, I wish. Why are we not billionaires?
I know. I don't think you have to be a billionaire either. I think it was like a few million, maybe.
That would be just amazing.
I think you might even got Christopher Lee with it, but you know, I don't know. Check it out.
So he comes with the island too?
Yeah.
What? That's amazing.
And then you get burned inside the Wicker Man. And then they look for another buyer, and then it gets the whole process again.
All over again. One of the things that we do want to talk to you about today before we take our next caller, which is at 617, we do want to talk about tarot reading.
617.
617 is a lucky number. We do want to talk about our tarot lessons. We have been doing a little segment of tarot lessons for the past couple of weeks. If anyone is, you know, first time listener, you know, we do have the show in the archives and you can kind of listen to your strategies, your tactics. But basically, what we're going to be doing at this point is reminding people about the first step was go through your deck, pick out cards that mean something to you, that look special to you. Or if you go through the book and you kind of are reading what certain cards mean and, you know, just kind of develop a relationship with only 13 cards and keep those cards out for a week. Last week we put the cards back in the deck and we were talking about doing simple readings, simple three-card readings for someone or even for yourself where you actually know what the answer is. But something complex, not do I like cake, but just like, you know, what color was my birthday cake or, you know, things like that, because we want to see what cards fall out. How do your guides convey the message to you with the cards that you see? And so this is actually something that in Tarot Lesson Part 3, we want to continue to do. But you may want to amp it up, add another card, add a fourth, add another card, add a fifth. But basically, this is practicing. And when you're talking to somebody and you're seeing your power cards, which were the cards that you held out of the deck, fall out in the spread, your intuition on how that card makes you feel about your life, how that card makes you feel about things that you've gone through, blend that experience into the reading with the person that you're talking to and see how these things relate to them. Because remember, your guides, which are who you're talking to when you're using your tarot cards. It's like if your guides speak French and you speak English, those cards are the way that they show you and you interpret what they're saying to you. The cards are not themselves necessarily these mystical, magical things. Some people may think they are, and I don't want to, you know, take away their glitter. But really, what they are, though, are it's just the way that our guides speak to us if we have a hard time differentiating between what we hear in our heads and what they're telling us intuitively. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to continue to do short spreads. Don't worry about Celtic pattern and all that stuff. Don't worry about those things. Create your own spreads and you'll start seeing yourself change things around. But that's too far off. Right now, we just want to focus on using three cards, four cards, five cards, and see how those things, how those cards come out to you based upon questions that you already have the answers for. Okay? Do you have anything you want to ask or add, Bill?
No, do I need to whip it out for the audience? Or?
No, I don't think so. I think it's okay.
Okay, the cards.
You were. I. What else would you be talking about? What are you putting away?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyhow, let's talk to our caller at area code 617. Caller at 617. This is Broken Earth. How can we help you?
Hi, Nunu. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Better now.
Oh, yeah. Now that you're here. Wah, wah. What's on your mind?
I love hearing the two of you kind of banter back and forth. I like it.
We are lovable, aren't we?
Yes, you are.
Everybody loves us. We're the sweeties.
Well, I just wanted to know, did either one of you get a chance to watch The Dead Files?
No.
I guess that means no.
No.
You know what? Did I watch The Dead Files?
on the Travel Channel?
I know what you're talking about because I was sitting there. What was I?
Sorry, I can't get the Travel Channel. All I've got is like British channels like Tea and Crumpets.
And weird shows that for some reason show full frontal nudity and cuss a lot, but then get mad because of something else. I don't get the BBC. All I know is that when, like, sometimes, like, you know, in the past when, you know, Bill's at work and I'm flipping through the channels, mm-hmm. I'll see these shows that are just like, how are they showing sex like this? You
yes.
know, and it's
yes.
TV. It's TV.
Yeah.
But it's TV, you know. It's the BBC. But anyway, and we have to have it on cable, you know, but
yeah.
then they get out of shape out, you know, off of something. But anyway, I did, you know, there was some episode that I was supposed to watch, and I think I just sort of spaced it out.
Oh, that's okay.
But anyway, what's been going on with you? What's been going on with you?
Well, you know, oh boy. You know, I just feel a shift has happened in my life. A positive shift. And I like it a lot.
Good.
It means that, you know, it just means something, you know, good is happening and I'm
mm-hmm.
learning my lessons and, you know, learning to let things go and move forward. And because of that change, I was interested in actually, I'm not going to rush into anything, but wanting to know, will there be romance this year?
Okay, let's look and see.
Okay.
Let's look and see. Everybody needs a little love.
Yes, and I need some love.
Everybody needs some hugs and some kisses.
Yes.
Yeah, come over here. We'll give you some hugs.
Oh. You're making me blush right now. You know that, Bill, right?
I hope so.
I can feel the hairs on my cheek standing up.
Oh. Let's see. And my cat Sugar will love and snuggle on you, too, and then she'll lick you directly in the mouth. Not on
oh.
it.
Oh.
Is she a French cat?
She's a mess. She is a total mess. I was giving.
You'd be okay for CPR anytime. You know.
I was giving a reading a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking, and I must have talked myself delirious, because sometimes when I'm doing readings, everything just kind of goes blank. Like, I mean, white. You know what I mean? And I just
wow.
I feel myself get lightheaded, and I just kind
oh,
of.
Wow.
You know, just go, and I was in this place, and she comes up to me, and she's on my lap, and I just feel something, and she's licking me directly in the
oh.
mouth, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, and the person
oh.
I was talking to was like, what, and I said, my cat, just.
Spat in your mouth.
I know,
was she making any noises? Like, kind of like,
No, she was just like, and I was like, really? And it wasn't like I had been eating anything. I was just talking. I think she was trying to shut me up.
I hope she was some washing beforehand. Doing nothing.
We're not going to go back to that. But, okay, so actually I'm going to ask you a question, dear.
Sure.
And I'm asking you this question because I want to make sure about timing. And the question I'm going to ask you is,
mm-hmm.
did you by chance, gosh, this looks crazy. I'm so bashful right now to ask
oh,
you this question.
Oh,
hello.
Please.
Hello.
Come on.
Okay.
The two of you are like family. Come on.
Did you by chance, and I'm
yes,
gonna I'm talking to you about the, okay, great. Now I'm talking to you about last, like, I want to know if this was last month or if it was actually in maybe July time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you by chance win any money, or did you receive any money that you normally would, you wouldn't ever get money like that again?
No.
Okay.
No.
And I have one more way to ask you your question, dear, and I'm sorry to do this, but there's something that it looks like happened, and I'm hoping it's last month, but if it's not, did you take a trip to Vegas or anything like that?
You know, it's interesting. I've been wanting to go to Vegas, either Vegas and where I live, because I live in Massachusetts,
right,
that or either Foxwoods or Mohegan
okay.
Sun, because I feel like I'm going to have something big.
But when was the last time that you went to Foxwoods or the Mohegan Sun? I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. That was in maybe 2001.
Okay, who?
I was with my ex-husband.
Okay. I'm not going to worry about timing. Don't. I don't know. This today, and I'm sorry because even the caller before that, I have been today. My timing is just all wacky. I guess we all have those.
That's okay, Nunu, honey. That's all right.
Because timing is my thing, but anyway, I probably need to make sure that I don't do too many timelines today. But in a period of, it looks like 7 or 8. And remember, when I go backwards like that, I'm going backwards because there's something that I'm seeing in the past, or that I'm being told about in the past for timing's sake, that's going to help me to let you know whether it's weeks, months, days, years, et cetera.
Okay.
But when I go forward with you, I see a man. I'm kind of concerned about this person, though, because
okay.
he does look like he is very, 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 overdoing it, over saying it, he's just extreme. He's extreme, okay? And you got to be careful with extremities, because we don't want extremities to burn out.
Absolutely.
And then, right after that, there's somebody that you used to know that returns. And so you're basically dealing with this, and I know that you're the kind of person that in the past, if you've got one person, you've got two.
Oh boy.
And you have to make a choice. So you've got this thing that's happening, and it could be in 7 or 8 weeks. It could be 7 or 8 months. It does look like it's this year, though. It is within this year. And one of the things I was noticing, too, is that you're going through your cycle involves your your growth as a person in the life that you exist in. It's about you and like if you wanted to start a business, this is a good time. You know, if you were wanting to stop that, stop everything and just kind of focus in on, your house or, you're just in a place where it's about the world that you've created.
Yes.
And so when you are saying, I feel like I've gone through this period and I think I've kind of, crossed a threshold, that sort of thing. This last Mercury retrograde was a good retrograde for reparations. And so it's kind of pushed you into this space now where you're like, okay, I'm ready to do something different. I'm ready to open up a can of something great and just sit back and relax with it.
Yes.
And so,
amen.
Like I said, there's somebody coming into the picture and he looks like he's just syrup. I mean, just delicious. But we just need to make sure that we space it out so that there's not all this stuff that's just being poured on really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a gooey mess that is, that just isn't going anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like I said, just maybe, 3 or 4 steps later, there is the person from the past that's coming back.
Oh,
there you go.
Boy. That just, wow. Now, that I'm afraid of.
Well, you try not to be scared. Don't be scared. Remember, we have our tests. We all have our tests. If you need to be tested for some reason, you know, I wish we didn't need tests, but we do. I mean, you know, our relationships get tested, our strengths get tested, our weaknesses get tested. Our strengths and our weaknesses are the same things, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, a lot of people's relationships, especially ones that you know are really permanent in your life, they get tested sometimes because, you know, we hit walls and we have to climb those walls. Walls of just because it's not about kissing and hugging doesn't mean we're not in love. Walls about, you know, there's a whole lot of problems put on you. Am I really here to support you with it? You know, so you're just at a place where you know, for your own life, because this is, you're in a cycle that's about your relationship with yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
You're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. So,
very, very true. Now, what does this have to do with, Vegas and money?
Well, the reason I was asking you that question is because when I was going backwards, I'm seeing here where it looks like there is you were going through a process about things and it's a financial cycle, really. But remember, it's not always about money. Sometimes coins represent our values or the things that are important to us. And this card is called Get Rich Schemes. And so basically, if Get Rich Schemes are not always bad things. Get Rich Schemes are sometimes, you know, I won money, but I know I'm never going to do that again. Or I just smuggled heroin in my butt, and I'm never going to do that again, but I got paid $5,000, you know. It's just things that we know that we do. But we're never going to do that again, because it's given us something big. But we're just not going to ever do that again. So when I went backwards here, you were going through this process, and in this process, it looks like you had you traveled a great distance, and then in that, there's something that you received, but you knew that you would never experience that again.
Oh,
so whether or not this is a profound thing or it's a literal thing, and I was just trying to figure out when it happened.
It's interesting that you say that, because it reminded me, when you said that, it's like it reminded me of my divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And actually receiving alimony from my divorce.
Right, and when you went through this, was this like early last year?
Oh gosh, that was like 17. That was like 10, almost 10, 11 years ago.
Oh, so it's years ago. Oh, so we're not looking at months; we're looking at years.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's why. You know, when I move you forward, dear, but I don't think that's what we're exactly talking about, because I don't think it's going to actually take you 8 or 9 years to meet a new person.
Okay.
I don't see that happening. But I'm going to tell you that, I mean, because you're in a place right now where we just know it'll happen. It's going to happen, you know.
But I feel like I'm a lot more aware, because for me, I would never substitute the icing for the cake.
Right.
I mean, to me, it's like I'm my radar is up, and I just feel like I'm more aware now.
Right.
Because of the relationships that I've had, and if, you know, I always go with my gut. Well, I'm learning and have learned to go with my gut instinct. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it is a duck.
Yeah. I know what you mean, though. I can't do that either. I cannot, I love icing, but I don't want sweet, sugary, frilly stuff that means nothing over something that actually has a base to it.
Yes.
I mean, even with
substance.
With my friendships, my friendships, I just can't, I don't want that. I want to surround myself with people that are, you know, they're
genuine.
Juicy, they're meaty, they're genuine,
yes.
You know, and it's not that I'm saying that there are you know, I mean, I realize that everybody has a connection in their own way. And sometimes we meet people and we don't grasp them. But the thing, that's just because they're not from the pool that we're from. They're not from the pool we swim in. Or that we've, you know, there's this eternal pool where, or this table or so that a group of souls sits at, and we all go back through, and we find each other, and we have our experiences, and then we go back, and then we meet at the table again, and like, okay, I double dog dare you to go to Earth with these adversities, and I'll see you there. And so, and the signs that we get when people are like, you know, his mom's name was Mary, and my mom's name was Mary, and then every time I look outside, I see his name on, you know what I mean? These signs are ways for us to know that we're at the right place in the right time, or there's something that we need to do. There's no coincidence.
That's very, very true. Now, this person who's coming back again, what is the purpose for that?
Because of
I'd say it's probably to iron out things you didn't learn the first time around.
Yeah. Basically it says that he returns with a little drama in tow, and he's looking for you to bend over backwards.
Yes. Yeah.
And he has separated from this person that he's been spending time with, and he wants a new beginning, but he's looking for you to bend over backwards. Now remember, you're going through a really serious Empress cycle now. When he comes around, he's the upside down Emperor, and he wants you to become the High Priestess for him. And the thing is, in relationships, we don't want to be that.
Absolutely.
We don't want to be the High Priestess, because the High Priestess is the person who's taking care of somebody, who's like basically putting aside her needs for another person's needs. You know what I mean? So, and he's going to want you to sit back in that role again, and you don't want
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely
so you've got to
make
your test is do I head into this as someone who is really, really trying to be who I am, or do I head into this taking care of somebody again? And so it's a nice balancing, in my opinion.
Yes.
I see this as a way to balance out yourself, because I think we all have a way of slipping into relationships and taking care of people or wanting that person to lean on us.
Yes.
But when it's all said and done, at the end of those relationships, we feel used.
That's exactly how I felt.
Right.
And that was part of
the
reason why we separated, why I was like, you know what, this just doesn't work for me. And when I closed the door, That was it. End of story.
So if he's popping in because you're in the beginning of this relationship with this person who's just like, oh my goodness, you're amazing, and you're like, you're amazing too, and then I saw the suit that looks like you would be just dripping inside of it, you know, and you have a tendency to buy the suits for people because you know what I mean. I'm just using this as an example of when you meet somebody that's amazing, how you just want to adorn them and just cover them in velvet and luxury. And you have to say, wait a minute, stop. I need my luxury.
Yeah.
You know, I need someone who's going to take care of me just
for
a little bit. Yeah. Just for
but
a little
I feel,
bit.
For me, it's that turns me off. That actually turns me off. I hope that's not me. I don't hang on a man's every last, you know, I don't hang on his word and just think that he's just, I gotta buy you this Rolex watch because you would just look nice in it and them shoes. I don't do, that turns me off. It just, I like those things. I like a man that puts himself together like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that I want to put you together like that.
Okay. But it happened.
It happened.
But you don't want to be that anymore.
No, I don't. It just turns me off. And when the ex comes, you know, cross my path again, it wasn't good then. It's not going to be good now. That's how I see it. I mean, it's like, I know his energy. I know how he is, and you know,
right?
He's always there's always something. The drama behind him is probably drama of another woman, and I don't want that.
Right, right, right. Well, girlie, we need to get some more of the interview played. So
yes.
You know, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Annette, right?
What's that?
Did you say?
Is it Annette?
Yes,
right?
Annette.
Yes,
Annette.
Is your name right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't introduce you to the group.
Oh, that's all right. I thought they already knew.
Everybody, I mean, not Bill.
They didn't know
like
already?
The people out there in radio land. Everybody, this is Ms. Annette. This is Miss Annette.
Helicopters are outside. I think they're trying to shut down the show. Black helicopters.
We can't be talking to Annette. They're coming for us.
They're coming.
I love talking to you guys. You guys are awesome. You really are.
Thank you. Just
fantastic. Well, I'm going to let you go because I want to listen to the rest of that interview.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you
both.
Thanks for calling.
All
thank
right.
Thank you. Blessings to you both.
See you soon. Right. Thank right. you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, we better get it on because we've still got two parts left.
Yeah, well, this next part is just about 10 minutes long. So
right.
just listen to that. Everybody, this is the second part of the interview with Sir Colin Doyle.
You also experienced some poltergeist activity, didn't you?
Yes. It was always very cold in the hallway, in my bedroom particularly. You know, my bedroom not so bad in the summer, but the hallway was always very cold. And we had a cat. And on occasions, he'd be desperate to get out. He's so desperate to get out of the hallway, he'd be running up the walls, literally. One day I watched him, he had to run up around the outside the front door, you know, and he was just desperate to get out, bouncing off everything. And we had a problem with the electricity bills. And we had a man from... it was my mum at the time, come to check the meter out. And he disconnected the meter from the main supply. And he couldn't understand because the disc was still going around as if power was being absorbed somewhere. And he just didn't know what to do. He couldn't explain it or anything. But I remember that clearly. He collected it back up and left the house muttering. So I don't know what was going on there. We were sitting in the living room one night watching the telly, the old black and white telly, and suddenly there's this loud crack, and Mum went to the bedroom and she had they used to have dressing table sets where you'd have like a glass tray to put your jewellery on when you take it off at night when you get ready for bed. Two pots with glass lids and a little like ashtray thing matching. And when she went to investigate the glass tray, which is quite thick glass, quite a heavy piece of forgive me, I've got ME and I get lost for words. Anyway, it was quite a heavy
glassware
piece. Yeah, it's quite thick. It would be about 14 inches by about 10 inches. It was quite a good size. It had cracked down the middle, split in half. not perfect, not perfectly, but it just cracked. But the noise it made. We had the telly on in the living room, the door shut, and this was in the bedroom, across the other side of the hallway. And, you know, in the bedroom, we got all those furnishings, so you don't expect the noise to penetrate.
Yeah.
And then another night, we were watching the telly, and it sounded like somebody was firing arrows from the other side, from the corner of the room, towards the television. Couldn't understand that at all. That was such a strange experience. You could hear them whistling past, carrying on wherever they went.
There was a figure stood over your bed one night, wasn't there?
Yeah, this was one of the occasions when my dad said, I'm not going there anymore.
Right.
And, you know, there's nothing you could do about it. And I was getting to the stage where, you know, I'd just hide under the covers and try to get on with it, you know.
Which was a pause for a minute?
No, it's okay.
That's all right. Stick on the same subject.
Finished yet?
Oh, sorry.
Dad used to be... Say it like you mean it.
Okay.
Dad was a milkman, so he'd be up and out at 5 o'clock in the morning. So Mum would be in bed down for an hour or two. And she was getting woken up by an old hag's voice shouting for Mary in the back bedroom. She was troubled a lot. And then another night, I felt quite smug about it actually, because I was having all these problems in my room and they weren't being bothered. But this one night, Mum and Dad were frightened because the way Dad put it, he sounded like there was a wild animal in the wardrobe trying to scratch its way out. And it really frightened him. So he experienced what I've been experiencing, I'm glad to say. And next morning he came home, he took the wardrobe out in the garden and set fire to it. It put the wind up him so much. And I had things in Spanish, books, pocket money, just vanish. No explanation for it at all. And only one occasion, I must have been about 12 at the time, things sort of eased off as I got older, or I'd become insensitive to it, I don't know. But there was one occasion, I was in the house on my own, and somebody called my name, a man's voice. Oh, dear me. Oh, I'll never forget that.
I've had my name called as well. It sounded like a woman in the past. I used to get that last one. We used to live on Carter Street.
This was like as if they were standing by me, you know. It really put the wind on me. But, you know, I was very troubled at the time. I was always in fights. I was always difficult at school and everything. I never fitted in, and, you know, just didn't fit in anywhere. So I suppose I was a prime candidate for these sort of things to latch onto me, I don't know. Anyway, the end.
Well, I was going to stick to the same subject if you wanted to, and then talk about any experiences along the ghostly subject that happened to later on in life.
Yeah. I can tell you one thing about the flat, though. We moved out and a single man with a dog moved in, and the dog wouldn't go in the flat, so we had to tie it up in the garden, and it used to howl all night, and in the end he had to have it put down.
Yeah. Mm. Wonder who's living there now? Nobody probably.
They might have gone. You know, it might have just been one of those things. Because sometimes people who are receptive, these things latch onto them, you know, because it's like, I suppose like a portal that can come through and, you know, that they can get through. I don't know.
Well, he might have not noticed it, but obviously dog would have picked up on it because they're quite sensitive to these things.
Yeah. I've read so much stuff and there's so many different opinions on things. I just got an open mind about it all. That's why I've not spoken about other things that I've felt or seen, because I'd rather stick to the ones that I don't think I can explain away.
So what do you think?
I think it's extremely interesting and capturing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The one especially, all of it really is pretty intense to listen to. But I mean, the one with the wild animal.
Right.
Kind of like a wild animal trying to get out of the wardrobe, and his father the next day saw him burning the wardrobe in the garden. Disturbing.
The next part is pretty good. Let's take a quick little music break.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back and with the rest of the interview, and then we're going to close the show out properly. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. We're on usually 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. UK. We're on at 3 p.m. Central Time, and the rest of the story. I don't want to keep going through it. last week and also this week, waiting for the time change in the United Kingdom. If anybody wants to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with us on Facebook, Broken Earth Radio Show. Also, our website is posted in the chat room as well as on the banner page for the show. If you want to get in touch with Bill, you can get in touch with him on the page or on the site or at Bill Doyle, that's D-O-Y-L-E, at live.com. Am I taking forever to say those words?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You can get in touch with him at
But we'll be right back with the rest of the interview. And
no doubt.
We'll be right back.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth.
Thank you.
you had some strange experiences with Mum as well, haven't you? when you moved into, was it somewhere in the Hoff Green?
Yeah, well, before that, we had a strange experience in Tarwin. So when would this be? 1960s. I had a car, so me and Mum, we used to go visit up about the country, but we didn't have much money, so it was like I'd put some petrol in, your mum would buy a pint, and we'd sit there together sharing a pint all night, or the other way around, and you know, if we had some bit of extra money, we'd have a couple of drinks, and on the occasion we'd go out for a meal. But this one occasion, we were going to a pub in Kelsall. We used to like a pub particularly, I think it was called the Royal Oak. And those days, there was very little lighting on that road. And as you get to Tarvin, there's quite a bad bend, and it's really dark. You need your headlights, you can't, and even Tarvin itself, you wouldn't know those shops or anything there. It seemed like everything just sort of closed down after about 7, 8 o'clock in the evening. And we were going towards Castle, going around the bend to the left, and I had to swerve suddenly because of somebody crossing the road, right in the middle of the road in the dark. Quite a tall, thin man with a coat on, long coat, and stooped. And your mum didn't see him. And then on another occasion, we were going that way, and your mum actually saw somebody crossing the road on that same area. Not exactly in the headlights, but like it was more like in the half light to the right, as if they were crossing the road, they hadn't quite got to the middle. They're similar to what I saw. She didn't see it previously because, of course, on the passenger side, she wouldn't be looking at right. The railway. And she commented on it, and you know, that we just thought it was strange somebody crossing there. And then we'd been out with friends, we were in their car, we were coming back, and this time we all saw it coming back, just a shape. It wasn't a figure. We realised then it was something paranormal. And a few years later, I was working for BT, and then I was working with a man who actually lived in Tarwin. So I said to him, they're going all cold. I said, do you ever have any strange incidents on that stretch of road, just past the turn off of Tarwin? He said, yeah, he said there was an older chap knocked over there years ago. He said a few people have seen him. He never gets to the middle of the road. So I'm not surprised he got knocked over in the dark. You know, somebody's turning along there because, you know, there's no speed limits there, really.
But no lights either, were there?
Huh?
No street lights?
No, nothing at all. So that just confirmed. And, because I hadn't said anything to anybody about it. Just me and your mum kept it to ourselves.
Mm.
We moved to, when we got married, I was living at the YMCA and your mum was living at home. We couldn't get anywhere to live. We had very little money. And we moved to Platinoff Green, number 14, on the second floor, had three floors, had a basement, converted into flats. And we not long moved in, and we had all boxes piled up in the living room at the front. And I saw somebody down the far end, sort of as if they're hiding behind the boxes piled up. But I knew it wasn't a person because it wasn't distinct. Anyway, a few days later, your mum saw the same thing. So I just tried to reassure her that there was nothing there. It must have been the light from the window cast a reflection.
So, what was it? Just an outline of something, or was it?
There's a figure of somebody, reasonably tall, about 5'10", 6 foot.
Right.
A man, I think. And but after that, we never saw anything. I'm sure there's other incidents. Oh, when I was living in Brighton, I'd be about 15, and I had a girlfriend scattered all over the place, so I'd be out late on the bike. And this one night, I was coming back from the lake. I'd come round across the footbridge on the railway line, by the railway line, along across the river from Curzon Park. The road, and I was screwing along the Sorgle Road, and at that time, the Sorgle Road, I can't remember if, no, that's irrelevant anyway. Anyway, I had to turn right at the lodge, and there was no lights then, and it was quite a dark night because there was no stars, no moon. And I was just coming to the bridge, and on the left there was like a bit of wasteland before you come to the bridge, not much, but I'd say about 10 feet wide, and it's still there today. And my lamp on the bike caught what looked like the bottom half or the lower half of, well, not that much really, a woman in a long coat showing about, well, not much, about 8 inches of ankle, with old fashioned lace up shoes with heels. And as I got closer, it disappeared. And I only saw that little bit, about 2 feet. No, didn't aware of anything else. And I thought that was very unusual, because there's actually nobody there, but I just saw the glimpse. I think that's it. That was it for my experiences in Brighton. Me and Mum, we went on holiday. We hired a car for a week, and I was supposed to be going to see somebody, and couldn't see somebody in Leicester on the way to Hull to see other friends. And outside Nottingham, we asked about anywhere, say bed and breakfast, local, because I was too tired to drive any further. And we went to this little village. It wasn't much, it was just like a bit like Custon. It was like a pub and a church and a bit of a green and a few houses, you know. And we decided we get dressed up a bit and go and visit somewhere else local and have a look at a pub. That's it. Have a couple of drinks. Sort of relax before went to bed. And the first pub we came to, I don't remember much about it really. It was just, it did have a direct entrance to the door, you know, it came up one side or it came up the other side, it was like a balustrade in front. And the door was one of these old fashioned double doors. No, it wasn't, sorry, it wasn't a double door. It was like the old-fashioned doors where you got a big heavy oak door with a is it a Gothic arch?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and good heavy stone surround to it. And your mum was on the left and we were going to the door. And your mum says, I can't go in there. That's strange. I thought, we'll go in anyway. I tell you, I couldn't put my hand on the door handle. I couldn't go in there for whatever reason. That was such a strange feeling.
Must have been for the best.
Oh yes, I always think that. But, you know, I normally pick up on things like that, but I didn't expect your mum. And I always try to be strong for your mum and try to explain things, ignore things. Oh, going back to when I was a youth, I had a mate, Pete Turner, and we'd gone for a drink down at the boathouse and had a few drinks, and as I'd left school, I'd be about 16, I was working with Pete in National Associated Photo Finishers just for a bit of money while I was waiting to get a job. I'd finished at college and I was just waiting to start an apprenticeship somewhere. And there was a separate part to the boathouse. There was a smaller part, the bar, and then there was the bigger part. We went to the left hand side, and as we went to the left hand side, Pete went first. And there was three lads from school who I'd had disagreements with in the past, and they were saying things that were abusive, so I went in and got a pint with Pete, and I said to Pete, I said, hold on that for me, I'm just going out for a scrap, because I thought that I wasn't going to take it, I'd had enough of these lads at school. So anyway, I ended up getting involved, and as would happen, I got thrown in the river, and I was soaking wet, and me and Pete went back to his house. I'm still annoyed anyway. I dried off a bit at about 1 o'clock in the morning. I decided to walk out to Blake, and we were living in Stamford Road then. And he lived in Victoria Road, so the quickest way for me was Victoria Road, cut through between Pollygate Road and Liverpool Road, down a passageway called, all locals call, Rocky Lane. And got about three quarters of the way down, and well, no mistake, there was a nun standing about 4 foot off the ground with her back against the wall. I recognised the habit immediately, and I couldn't see any features. It was the nun's habit. There was no mistake in that for any sort of brickwork or anything like that. It absolutely petrified me. I was, you know, people say they're frozen to the spot. Well, that's how I was, but I couldn't possibly stay there. I couldn't go back. I couldn't go forward. I just, with supreme effort, I made my legs work. How I got past it, I don't know. It must have taken about 30 seconds, but it was the longest 30 seconds in my life. And I have never been that way ever since.
Well, the wall collapsed recently down there, didn't it, as well? Was it on the left or the right coming down?
I think it was on the right.
And that's the wall that collapsed as well recently, a few weeks ago?
No, I mean, the collapsed wall was on the right, but I saw it on the
left. Oh, right, okay.
But I was talking to somebody who was involved with architecture around Chester, I think it has something to do with the church or the cathedral. And I was asking if churches were connected anyway. And he said, yes, there used to be lots of underground passages from the cathedral leading out to other churches. Like the crypts around town.
Yeah.
Lincoln, please. So I wondered if that was something from a bygone age where, before Rocky Lane existed, where there might have been a passageway to one of the churches. I don't know whether there's been a building there. But there's no way I can explain that away. And I was so frightened. Up until recently, I normally go so cold, I couldn't carry on talking about it so much. You know, so it lost the impression on me.
And we're back.
There you go, floating nuns and, you know, weird things.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
But like I said, there's more to come, and that they have actually recorded still with the interview, but there's still more on top of that still needs to be recorded as well. So, you know.
Wow. You know, while we were listening, I was watching, you know, some of the things that people were messaging me. And I don't, if anybody out there ever, anyone listening, ever follows the Lindsay Lowe case, the Nashville mother who smothered her twins, her newborn twins. They found her guilty just about 20 minutes ago of four accounts, but she still has to come back for two. So, but regardless of how frustrated people are about what happened, you know, we still need to pray for her, so that something can come from, you know, where she is. You know what I mean? It's crazy, but
yeah.
But I don't want to suck a thunder, but I just wanted to put that out there because if anybody's listening and they are not aware that, you know, there you go. But anyhow, he has got some stories. These stories are just wild, and I can't wait to hear some more.
Yeah. It's extremely believable because, you know, he's probably the most honest, caring, and awesome person that I know. And, I know that, you know, words that he speaks is truth. So I just know that because I've known him for 27 years. So I know. I know he's a logical person.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, these, these things come from someplace, you know, the stories that are of, you know, scary movies and stuff like that, or, you know, they come from somewhere, you know, so, but anyhow, I think this is really exciting. I think it's really exciting.
And there's plenty more to come. Even I have the confirmations of what I've spoke about in the past as well, with like a swarm of flies and, you know, the holidays away. The strange things have happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's yet to come.
Wow.
But maybe more next week or something, or, you know.
Right.
We'll see.
So next week, are we going to be back at the regular time?
I would have thought so, but at this moment in time, I don't know what's going on because I'm off work and I'm going to be all over the place. So, but as far as I know, there won't be any change to the show.
Okay.
It should be usual time.
Okay. I hope everybody's enjoyed everything so far because, you know, these are very special very special, very rare.
You're the first people to hear it.
That we're listening to. Very special and very rare. And why don't we give the show a proper closeout? There's that one song that you like. What's it called?
Which one? Skin to Bone?
No. About sunscreen.
About Lerman?
Yeah, I think we have enough time to play it. No, we don't. We don't. I thought we did, but we don't. Poop. We'll just do the Desiderata to close the show out. But we still have a minute or so left that we
just
can
do that then.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
But like I said, anybody wants to check out Square Cheeks Hair Sticks?
Yay!
For all your hair stick designs and awesomeness and hair things, you know, check that out on Facebook.
They're so cute. They're so cute. And
at a reasonable price.
They really are a nice price, aren't they? The link is on the banner page, and it's also inside of the chat room. But yeah, they're just so cute, and there's more designs to come.
Also, a book that I can recommend is Wayne Herschel, Hidden Records, which is about all about Mars and Egypt, recording, you know, the history of extraterrestrials and that. And since reading that book, I'm convinced that there's civilizations on Mars or ancient civilizations on there, no doubt about it. So if you need convincing, go read his book, Wayne Herschel, Hidden Records. And also check out Lloyd Pye, that's Lloyd, P-Y-E, Everything You Know Is Wrong, which is on YouTube. Extremely interesting.
And it's also posted on the page.
Yes, also I posted it on the Broken Earth Facebook page as well. Good to watch. If you're interested in evolution, Homo erectus, homos in general, and Bigfoot and things like that. It covers all those. And Lucy, the supposed missing link that was found. Go and check that out because it will change your views on some things, I reckon.
All right, well, we're going to close the show out properly, but thanks you guys for listening, and hope you have a wonderful, wonderful, awesome week.
And we should see you normal time. If not, if there's any changes, but it shouldn't be, we'll post it on Facebook. Or so you better get liking us on Facebook so you know if there's any changes.
Thanks a lot, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons, they are vexations to the spirits. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy.